You guys get
What's up, 2015? We're in Back to the Future.
2015. Can you believe that? That's like for real movie Steven Spielberg action. 2015. Here we are.
That's crazy.
We've made it.
Made it to the future. You know, we made it better off than Marty McFly in real life.
In real? Why is that?
Well, because, I mean, well, the actor himself, I mean, he'd probably rather be in the movie than how he is now, poor guy, you know, suffering and all that.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a downer. Let's not, hey, it's 2015. We got to look into the future.
Hey, and speaking of the future, this is a future show. Like, we are having a show on Skype. We are on Skype. Fonz, you're a little bit sick. And we decided, hey, let's just test the water. Let's try to do a show through Skype and see how that works out. And so this is kind of futuristic. This happens in Back to the Future 2, where they talk to someone through the TV screen. So
yeah,
this is kind of very much Back to the Future inspired, as you would say.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You're the one who told me about that. You said that Back to the Future 2, the future is 2015. I was like, are you serious? That's pretty crazy.
That's crazy, huh? Oh man, dude, it's crazy to be. I'm dying, bro. So like, if I sound like shit, it's because I feel like shit.
All right.
But hey, the show's got to go on. Pilot number 34.
Yeah.
We're back. That's to right. The future.
The Back to the Future show. Return of the Back to the Future show. Dude, yeah, so I noticed on Back to the Future, so in 2015, we're supposed to talk to TV screens. We're doing that now. That's pretty dope. There was this, like, mock video of Tony Hawk on a flying skateboard. That's not true. I don't know if you ever saw that. It was like a short film or something like that, but it was supposed to be...
it's not true.
No,
they
it's...
got me.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we're still waiting on that flying skateboard. That was like a mockumentary or whatnot. But that was we're still waiting on the flying skateboard.
But they mentioned other stuff like biometric ID, which we have that now.
Biometric ID, you're right. That's right. It's like your fingerprint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your fingerprint.
Your eye and your fingerprint and all that stuff. So we're there. If you have the new iPhone, you got it.
You got it. That's true. Hey, so they're kind of close. We're not at Jaws. I think it was Jaws 19.
Yeah. I mean, they stopped at 3, but they were really bad. Jaws 3D and then The Revenge of Jaws or something like that. They're terrible movies.
Hey, you know what? Maybe Nemo might make it to 19.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What they got right. Well, we got drones.
That's right. We got the drones. We got the drones, most definitely. We still have the clock tower. Clock tower is still full force.
There you go.
So yeah, that is just crazy. That just goes to show. Now let me ask you something, Fonz. Do you think CGI beats the way movies like Back to the Future 2 or even any kind of 80s movies were made? When you think of like even like horror movies, you think of like Freddy Krueger or Exorcism. Are movies made better with the CGI, or are you a fan of the old? Which one wins out?
Well, it's with the new TVs and everything and all the CGI, you can tell it's fake. You know how you have your TV and you're like, oh shit, I can almost see the freaking green screen in the background, you know?
Okay.
But so if you're looking at a new movie on an old TV, it looks amazing because you can't really tell the CGI.
New movie on an old TV. I got you. Yeah.
Because the new TVs make everything look too real, which sounds stupid, but that's the only way I can fucking describe it. It looks too real. Like watching freaking some show on your TV, man. That shit's too real for me. It's like I'm high or something, which I guess I'm just not used to it. You know,
it's a natural high. It's a natural high.
But and there's stuff that's still missing that I want. That 2015 in Back to the Future we should have for real.
What is that? Oh, you know what I just remembered really quick is the tablet. The dude, there's like a tablet. They punt that like the taxi cab. You sign it on a tablet.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, now thanks to Apple. They're freaking Back to the Future. You know, Apple, you owe all your money to Back to the Future Part 2. Sorry, Fon. So what were you gonna say? There's stuff that you want. What do you want?
Well, come on. Everybody still wants the flying car since like the early 1900s. Everybody said we were going to have flying cars. We still don't have a flying car.
All right.
Well, we're pretty close to a self-driving car, but no the instant pizza, the dehydrated pizza.
Oh.
It's like a little ball, and then they put it into the Black & Decker dehydrator or something.
That's right.
And then it just becomes a really big pizza like in seconds. We still need that shit.
Dude, anything that makes pizza faster, I am all about it.
Yeah, and the other one where they put the girlfriend asleep, Marty McFly's girlfriend, when they're in the car. They knock her out with a little flash thing. I think it was like the alpha rhythm generator or something.
Okay.
I don't think they're ever going to build that shit. That shit's just date rape, like fucking. That's just, like everybody's gonna buy that shit for date raping. You don't want that shit,
right?
And the self-drying jacket.
The self-drying jacket.
Yeah, a jacket that Marty McFly wears, and it customizes to his size, and then he falls in the water and it dries itself.
Oh yeah. You're right.
With the shoes, remember the shoes too. Yep. The lacing, automatic lacing.
Well, one thing we also have and still have is Flea. Flea plays a guy by the name of Needles, and Flea is still present, man. Flea is still going strong. But one thing we want that we will never have is a young Elizabeth Shue. Yeah. Marty's girl. Marty's Girl Part 2 is better than Marty's Girl Part 1. I do have to say that. Elizabeth Shue
A lot of people don't know that there's two different girlfriends on that. Well, they should know.
Well, you should because of Elizabeth Shue. That's Karate Kid, man. Come on. Yep. I mean, that's 1980s. Like that came correct. We will never have an Elizabeth Shue.
That's the only reason I still watch CSI Las Vegas, because she's on there.
Is she on there?
Yes.
Oh, but that's now more, you know, more classy lady. Classy lady.
More mature.
More mature.
She aged well, though, man. She looks amazing.
That, yeah. Hey, you know, Karate Kid and Back to the Future 2. That's all you need on your resume. That's kind of like me. Walter Fon Show Pilot 1 and the show Pilot 2. That's all I need. Send me to the top. Hey,
Pilot 34 right now, though.
Hey, happy 2015, man. I wasn't with you for New Year's, but so here we are. And I think this is the first time we're actually kind of talking in the new year. Happy 2015, Fons.
Happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, bro. Oh, man. How was your New Year's?
New Year's was good. I want to talk a little bit about it, but I kind of want to talk about you first, man. You go first. What you been up to?
Oh, man. I New Year's Day, went to Disneyland.
Oh, celebrated. Did you see the snow? Did they make that shit snow?
Yeah, I made it snow.
How did you figure it out? They do it. It's so crazy because they hide it very well. Yeah. I was like, it literally is fucking snowing right now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's fun, dude. I've never been to Disneyland on the holidays, or especially for Christmas.
Yeah.
So that was my first snow, and it was pretty cold, man.
I got a question. Did you cry? Did you almost cry?
No.
It's the happiest place on fucking earth.
It is.
Especially during New Year's. I hate to admit that.
Yeah, it's fun, dude. It's like my my place that I don't want to claim that I like, but dude, I like Disneyland. You know, you might lose some man points for that shit, dude.
Let it be known. Hey, I'm with you on that, dog. I went about maybe 3 years ago around this time. Yeah. And Yeah, dude, they literally deck it out, dude. They will force happiness into your fucking body, dude. Disney will force happiness. They make it snow for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And then they have did you see the Fantasia, like Mickey battles like the Ursula or whoever it is. I don't know what it is now, but the big light show by the water part.
No, I didn't see that, dude. It was so crowded and we were just like, all right, let's go get on Star Tours since they redid it. Oh. Like, I want to get on Star Tours again. So, because they have so many different combinations of Star Tours that I was like, I want to see them all.
Hey, man, you might lose man points for being a Disney lover, but I got your back from another not as much of a man. Dude, Disney
rocks. But not in a gay way, right?
No, exactly. Hey, Disney during the New Year's. Like, I get it if you go in the summer. Who the hell wants to do any of that stuff? I am not a fan. Don't sign me up for Disney at any point. But I'm going to have to be there in around this part of time. They kind of do it correct. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, and then you got to go to the California Adventure because they have the beer and the wine there, dude. They have a huge selection. It's pretty good.
Oh, they do? I don't know that part.
Yeah, you got to go there. And then Cars. The Cars place is pretty cool.
Yeah, with I'm surprised there wasn't a Prolax commercial.
What's that?
The one that Larry the Cable Guy does on.
Oh, TV, yeah.
Right? Because isn't he the voice of the car?
Yeah, he's a voice of he's Mater, the tow truck.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's cool, man. Hey, you know what? I ain't hating on you, man. That's pretty dope. That's kind of cool. Disney comes correct. I'll admit it. Disney comes correct. I'm glad you brought it up. It takes a weight off my shoulders, Fonz. What else do you do? What else do you do during the holiday season?
Well, I'm trying to get my man card back, you know, because Mickey has it. But I want to go see Viernes 13. Our homie JP, his band, has a new album. It's called 13 Rules. Yeah. So it was his album release party, so I had to go check it out.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I played at the Troubadour. It's like you have to go to the Troubadour at least once in your life, and you know.
Doug Weston's Troubadour.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man, JP has been doing Viernes 13 for a long freaking time, man. They're a big staple in Southeast LA, right? I mean, everyone knows JP, everyone knows Viernes 13. They've done so many shows in the Southeast area, all the VFWs, the Allen, whether it's been on, whether it's off, whether it's on, whether it's off. They do so many shows around that area, and so for them to do the Troubadour, I bet they were pumped about doing that. And then we know JP. We have a special connection with JP, the lead singer. We went to high school with him, but he also was a member of our first podcast.
Yeah.
I know he's a busy dude. Did you get a chance to talk to him, or did you just go see him do his thing?
No, I talked to him for just a little bit, but I mean, it's tough when he's in his environment and everybody's coming up to him, giving him shots and beer and shaking hands and stuff. So I just left it at that. So, but we should be like, freaking meeting up soon, so we'll talk some more.
Good. I think we'll have him on the show, right? He'll talk about the new album and everything.
Yeah, totally.
And I know, I think, and I don't want to confirm this, but I know that I think the producer or someone that helped him with the album might have been a band member of Danny Elfman's band? Not the cover band, Dead Man's Party. What's the band? Oingo Boingo. Oingo Boingo. Oh, okay. I think there was a band member from Oingo Boingo who helped him out, but that's cool, man. Was he as always ever freaking electrifying? Was he just
off the rocker? He was funny. I thought he was gonna do a stand up act. It was pretty funny, and he just owns that stage and that audience. You know, everybody knows him, so he just felt at home and comfortable. That guy is just pretty comfortable on the stage. He's a character. He's a character
for sure.
Fun to watch.
That's good, man. What do you think? Was that your first time at the Troubadour?
Yeah, it's loud, bro. I guess I'm getting old. I don't know what it is.
You're getting old.
Oh, man. I had bought earplugs, but I didn't use them. Didn't want to stand out. Sorry, man. I'm on some medication, some freaking soju. Feeling great right now. All Let's right. do this.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Let's keep it going. I feel great.
I feel good.
Feel good. What about you, Walt? What's up, man? New Year's resolutions? What's going on?
Well, you know, we did this show last year, 2014. Yeah. I had a resolution for that year, 2014. I said, you know what? I had just picked up, Robin had just bought me a drum machine, the old school, the Elises. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get all the best minds from Long Beach and I'm going to make an album. I'm going to make an album that's going to make all the best minds to collaborate and make this just cool piece of audio incredibleness. And yeah, that didn't even happen. I got to like two drum beats. I learned how to go doo doo ch, doo doo ch on the drum machine.
That sounds
machine.
Like a Queen song to me, man. That's amazing.
That's right. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, from the they live on Broadway over here. But but so that totally didn't happen. So I totally didn't even keep my resolution. But you know what? I'll try again. And maybe somewhere in this show, if we talk about resolutions, that maybe we'll talk about that. But for the record, I 100% completely did not meet my resolution. No album. So it's still on hold. But I did celebrate New Year's.
It's in the works, bro. It's in the works.
There you go. It's in the works. But I did celebrate New Year's in a way which I found out a lot of old people celebrate it. And it is fucking awesome, man. I am a fan. I did it rad, dude. And so the 31st, I talked to a guy, this older guy, he's about like 60 years old. And he was like, and I'm like, what are you doing for New Year's? And he's like, well, you know what? This is the way I've been doing it. I found this out about 5 years ago. And really, honestly, I love it. This guy's 60 years old. Kids are out of the house. I mean, it's just him and his wife, right? And he's into sports. And he was like, man, I figured it out about 5 years ago. I ended up very tired because I had a long day of work. And I know I wasn't going to hang for midnight. So I asked my wife if it was okay if we pop some champagne for 9 o'clock for the New Year's midnight, for the New York New Year's. And they put on the TV, they showed it, they dropped the ball, and they had a blast. And they ended up like, you know, they drank champagne, they made out. And after that, the pressure was off whether they were going to stay up to midnight or not. They ended up staying up to midnight. But I mean, and they fell asleep right after, shortly after. So the next year they did the New York thing again, and they didn't make it. They fell asleep. They had it. They went to dinner and everything. And so he's been doing it for 5 years, but that's only half the battle. That popping the champagne, and he's like, because he's like, don't get me wrong, Walt. I still go stock up on beer. I buy a bunch of beer. Comfort food or party food. And I get up at 9 in the morning and everyone comes over and I start watching the first bowl game. So I celebrate the New York New Year's and I get up at 9. All my friends come over and we just crack beers, eat hot dogs, pigs in a blanket. And we watch like as many bowl games as we can throughout the year.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
I was like, wait, that's old people New Year's? Sign me up.
Wow.
So this year, me and Robin, we went to dinner at my folks' house, which was about 6-7 o'clock. We were back at the house at 10. Lights out, bro. Lights out. In fact, the fireworks from the Queen Mary downtown area, they woke me up. And then I was like, huh? What? Huh? Hey, babe, wake up. Happy New Year's. She's like, sweet. And back to bed. Dude, we were out. We were out before midnight. I ended up getting up about 7:30 in the morning. I stocked up, got ready, and then I literally watched bowl games all day. Drank beer and watched bowl games all day. It was freaking awesome. We had remember Rodney Dickerson from the earlier show, Hall of Fame, HOF, Rodney Dickerson?
Yeah.
He came over with his family, and we just literally drank and watched bowl games. And then when all was said and done, and it was time to go to bed, I was like, I think I like this New Year's. I think I like the way that rolled. Like, you celebrate the New York New Year's, and then you just get up and drink and watch bowl games all day. So I definitely did. That was old people inspired in the way I celebrate New Year's. I was pretty stoked about that.
That's pretty cool, dude. I like that. You can even up it up, like make it different and celebrate like Australia's New Year. And it's like at 6 in the morning.
Go to bed at what, 8 a.m.?
8 a.m., right? Have breakfast and go to bed.
Dude, when I lose taste bud ability, I will start celebrating Australia. When I can't, when everything tastes to me like mashed potatoes, then I'm going to do Australia for sure. Unless, back in the day, though, you know, you would be like Australia and then you would start there. And then every hour you would take a shot, right? Every hour.
That sounds awesome.
Every time zone, one of these days. But you know what I did during the holiday season? I did get riled up a little bit because in baseball, in Major League Baseball, they have the Hall of Fame inductees. And this year you got four dudes who pretty cool. None of them like super stand out. For baseball, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez.
The unit.
The unit. Yep. Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, and Craig Biggio. They made the Baseball Hall of Fame. Yada yada yada. But I got some interesting stories about all these guys that I just
wait. Wait a head. Minute. Wait a minute. You sure it's the Baseball Hall of Fame and not like the Pitchers Hall of Fame?
Right. Well, two out of the four were pitchers. Oh, three out of the four were pitchers. Three out of the four. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Dude.
I don't know.
But, what's it called? Was it unit went to USC, right?
Dude, I got a freaking story. So I a little bit about me. I played baseball at Cal State LA. I wouldn't exactly call it play because I rode the bench at Cal State LA. But so you hear some lore, right? I mean, you hear about things, and it, you know, one of the things I loved about that is that it's still LA. I played in a college in LA, so it's kind of you hear these stories, and they're still LA based, and we are a podcast about LA, right? You want to hear one of the coolest stories about Randy Johnson?
What's that?
Back in the day, because yeah, you're right. Randy Johnson went to USC. You know who was on that team? Also, Mark McGwire. Randy Johnson and Mark McGwire on the same freaking team.
Wow.
Well, all right. So back in the day, they would play a series every year. It was like preseason. They would play against Cal State LA. Cal State LA is like, I mean, it's USC and Cal State LA. It's fucking big difference. It's like major leagues against little leagues. So Randy Johnson was like a freaking introvert, dude. Like that guy just kind of high and by and, you know, didn't really say a lot to a lot of people. And so every year you play Cal State LA. So Randy Johnson rode his 10-speed bike. He didn't want to ride with the bus or with a team to Cal State LA. He rode his 10-speed from USC campus to Cal State LA. So we're talking about South Central LA to Monterey Park, right?
Yeah.
So he rode his bike all the way, pitched a no-hitter. He no-hit us. He no-hit Cal State LA. And then rode his bike back to the dorms.
Oh, my God.
Who does that? Who rides their bike? He's like, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to ride my 10-speed. And I'm trying to think about this. This is like late 80s, early 90s era. So remember what 10-speeds looked like back in the day?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of this goofy-looking dude with the mullet.
Freaking, how tall is he? He's like 6'2", 6'3"? Dude,
yeah, he's like 6 forever, bro.
Probably with his uniform on.
I started thinking.
And his cleats.
Yeah, what route would he take? Yeah, what would he take? How would you get there? Like,
who got on the freeway? He got on the freeway. I don't got time for this.
Goofy ass dude, man. So, you know, in that kind of respect, Eddie Munfriger, you know, how there's all these, what's that called? Like the, those midnight riding the 10-speed cruise that they ride bikes at midnight and they stop traffic. Yeah. What's that called? Do you remember what that's called?
Night rides or something like that?
I don't know. Before there was that, there was Randy Johnson and he pitched a no hitter, by the way.
I had a question about Randy Johnson though. All right, he's like one of the only players to have more walks, finish with more walks than hits. Why would you not pitch to a pitcher? Like, you know, he got walked more than he hit the ball. Why would you as a pitcher walk a pitcher?
I have no idea why you would do that. I think
it was just luck that
I think that he was ridiculously bad at batting. Like, he probably got one hit and he got accidentally walked twice. I don't know the numbers on that, but I have no idea.
Well, I got the numbers. Walks were 152 and hits were 151, so they're pretty damn close.
Yeah,
but that's still a lot of walks.
Yeah, and they're what did he have, a 12 year career or something like that?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know, man. That's crazy. I have no idea. Pedro Martinez, he was a Dodger. You know why they got rid of him?
No way.
He swung a bat. He was swinging a bat, and he dislocated his arm. He dislocated his shoulder swinging a bat.
His pitching arm?
No, I think it was his non-pitching arm, but he was swinging a bat, and he dislocated his shoulder. So the doctor's like, really? Because he was a prospect. He wasn't anyone yet. This guy weighed like 165 pounds. Wet. Jerry curl. The wet from his Jerry curl, dude. He freaking So the doctors were like, dude, if I were you, trade him. I know he's a prospect, trade him. Like, he dislocated his arm swinging a bat. This guy will not pitch a full season for you. And so that's why they sent him away, I think, to the Expos or wherever. And then obviously the Dodgers missed out on what Pedro Martinez had to offer. But they got rid of him. He dislocated his shoulder on a swing and a bat. John Smoltz was a better hockey goalie than he was a pitcher, but he decided to pick baseball.
And you know, something about Smoltz too, is Tiger Woods called him his personal ATM.
What? Why?
Well, because he's such a, like, he's really good friends with the Tiger Woods. Right?
No way. And that's cool.
He called him the best non-PGA golfer he's ever played with.
So he would just bet on him or what?
So no. He, because I mean, they would bet, I can beat you or whatever. And he would always lose because it's fucking Tiger Woods playing
his game. Fucking Tiger Woods.
Right. So they would bet and then he would just lose. So he called him his personal ATM.
Oh, that's funny.
He called him Schmaltzy.
Schmaltzy?
Yeah.
That's his friend.
He has a foundation too, right?
Yeah. He does. I forget what it is. All these guys do. I don't remember what John Smoltz does. Craig Biggio, dude, that fool was a catcher. He ended up going to second base to save his knees. Best move of his life. Ain't no catcher is going to play as long as this guy. Craig Biggio, I think, in my opinion, nothing special about him. He just played for a really long time and was consistently good. Nothing special, in my opinion. You talk to people about Houston, they might say otherwise. But, dude, seriously. Honestly, and I'm really going to get into this because none of these guys, with the exception of maybe Randy Johnson, but if you look at the three pitchers, they're pitchers. And Craig Biggio, he's actually a player who played multiple positions. He played catcher, left field, and second base, and he's in the Hall. I mean, they do not compare to, you know who I'm going to bring up, Pete effing Rose, man. Pete Rose, not in the Hall of Fame. He gambled, I get it, but you know what? There's been worse. There's been wife beaters, thieves, just freaking all sorts of malarkeys that are in the. It's not called the Hall of, like, Rolling Stone. A Rolling Stone article. I forgot who was the author. That he said it's not called the Hall of Saints,
or the Hall of Justice,
or the Hall of Justice. It's called the Hall of Fame, man. It's like what you do in between the chalk lines, dude. It just seems, and I get it. It's from both. It's a pissing contest with Major League Baseball and Pete Rose. It's not like Pete Rose didn't do things to piss them off, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the MLB has this thing, and then Pete Rose has this thing. Pete Rose still wants to be in the Hall of Fame. I bet if he didn't want to be in the Hall of Fame, they would let him in. You know what I mean? It's so ironic in that nature. But he should be in. He should most definitely be in the Hall of Fame. And it really pisses me off because, you know what? Len Dykstra, he was a center fielder for the Phillies. He juiced up. Like, there's people who have flaws, right? And the juice people, that's a different discussion. But, like, I love baseball. And I love to see the way when people put baseball or the moment of baseball more important than anything else in their lives. If you really think about it, a lot of us who have comfortable lives, we're not these people because we're not willing to put that in front of what we do. So you got to hand it to these people. Maybe a little bit narcissistic, but still, that you, there's some sort of respect to people who put one thing more important than anything else in their lives. It's almost not human, and a lot of times it's bad. But in this case, or in a lot of cases with a lot of people, it's actually incredible to watch, right? The Kobe Bryants, the Derek Jeters, the Tom Brady's. It's crazy.
I mean, his nickname is Charlie Hustle. You can't like hate on somebody with their, like, their, they call him Hustle. You know, that's. It's just, it's awesome to see that. Like, you love to see people hustling, you know?
Yep. One of my,
on the, even if it's on the street, I don't care. They're trying to feed their family, whatever, you know?
Even if it's in the cyber world, baby. Like, if it's this podcast. Dude, one of my favorite stories is in the World Series, dude. There was a guy who's super, super fast, right? He literally played him as far away as the pitcher is. He played third base, and he literally stood, like, how far the pitcher is from the mound. That's how close he stood to the batter while he was batting.
He got on the grass, like in the inside,
like
grass?
Way past. Like, I mean, I'm talking about like 10 feet inside of the grass, and he was like, "I dare you to hit it this way." Like, he just literally stood like human target. That's Charlie Hustle. That's how you roll,
that's,
dude.
That's awesome. I would love to see a picture of that. That'd be amazing,
dude. Pete Rose. What? So here's why he's not in. The baseball rule is, or you want to read it, Fonz? You want to.
No. I think I've done it enough. I've done it enough.
Any player, umpire, or club, or league official, or employee who shall bet any sum whatsoever upon any baseball game in connection with which the bettor has a duty to perform shall be declared permanently ineligible. Now, that's the rule, and that's what they stick to. But the Hall of Fame, dude, everyone knows he's the, or most people know, he leads Major League Baseball in hits. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar leads basketball in points. It's crazy. Like, who? Like, no one's ever going to catch him. I don't know that anyone breaks this record, man. Fonzo, I really don't know anyone breaks this record. But that's the big one. But he has also played in the most games in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
You would figure those two are enough. He's had 10 200-hit seasons. Only one person has done that, Ichiro Suzuki. He's still actually playing. We'll see what happens. He's won 3 batting titles. He's led the league in hits 7 times. He's the only big leaguer to play 500 games at 5 different positions. First base, second base, third base, right field, and left field.
Damn.
500 games in all 5 positions. He's an all-star. Oh, and by the way, he's an all-star. He's made the all-star team in all 5 positions.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude. And he's also has freaking, he's played in 6 National League pennant championships, and he's won 3 World Series rings.
Yeah.
Dude, but that's the resume.
That is a resume, but I think you have to add one to his resume.
What's that?
You know what you got to add to his resume. The most important one to me.
That they call him Charlie Hustle, and the fact that he was at my bachelor party?
Yeah. I think I like that one more.
That's probably the best one. Do I have a personal agenda? Probably, but so what? I still love them anyway. I mean, he's Charlie Hustle, but the fact that every bachelor party needs a celebrity sighting, a celebrity something, right? I would imagine a successful bachelor party. I don't care how many midgets you have, how much midget tossing or whatever is going on. You got to have
how many fights you get into.
How many fights? You need that one celebrity in to make the bachelor party complete. That dude made my bachelor party complete. It was a Pete Rose sighting and a Pete Rose autograph ball and all of us signing the ball. In fact, what do you think, Fonz? That might be the center of our podcast picture. I'm going to take a picture of that ball.
Yeah, I like that. Love that.
So, Hall of Fame inductees, I mean, it's cool. You got some good dudes. But, I mean, Pete Rose, I mean, above and beyond. When you have stats like that, you have to make you have to have some leniency here. You need to be able to change the rules. You're the goddamn Major League Baseball. You can change the rules, for crying out loud. That bugged me a lot. I really think I'm a baseball fan to the heart. I'm actually a bigger fan than I ever was a player. And I feel Pete Rose, I mean, he embodies what it is. When you want to teach little kids how to play baseball, you know, that moment when you're a kid and you're scared of playing the hard ball, like you're cool with tennis balls and you get to the hard ball, that transition. I mean, every dad needs to be able to tell their kid, like, dude, welcome to the Charlie Hustle Leagues. Welcome to you know what I mean? Yeah. You feel me on that?
Hell yeah. It's going to hurt for a little bit, but don't let it stop you.
Don't let it stop you. It's been hurting Pete Rose for 25 years. This thing's not going to last forever. So that,
you can still sign baseballs.
And you know what? If you have any, if you guys feel strongly about Pete Rose, there's a website called www.freepete.com. It's pretty cool. Sign a petition. And I actually got a t-shirt. I posted it on my Instagram. My Instagram's Walt Cortez. I posted it on there, and it's a pretty cool t-shirt. But that even further support. My family members know I love Pete Rose. They gave me a Pete Rose t-shirt. I think that's pretty friggin' dope. So check that website out. I really like that website. Go ahead and support it if you feel that way about baseball. And you should if you like baseball. Website. Website. I'm out. Peace out. I'm dropping the mic.
Done. Try to answer to the master or the MC rap goddess. No joke on the lyric, sorry to be modest. I knew I was the man with the master plan to make you wiggle and jiggle like gelatin. Just think while I sing and to the bring structure. Don't sleep on the E. You see something might rupture. It don't take time for me to blow your mind. It take a second to reckon because you dumb and blonde. So just lounge. Put you an MC clown was on the circus. EPMD is in town. Total chaos, no mass confusion. Rhyme so hypnotizing, known to cause an illusion. Like a magician, he draws a rabbit out of hat, son. I'm drawing more like a 44 Magnum. MC Free, stop looking, listen, and try to imagine. It's traveling the speed of light, but everything's motion is frightening. Plus, the thought you alone, you now enter dimension called the Twilight Zone. You're terrified.
Plus you can't bear the thought, you and I want a one in the land of the lost. You start to shiver, then you scream, my friend. You wake up monthly because you're dreaming again. But next time I'm on the scene, do not try to distance. Keep your mouth so sucker duck, because I'm strictly business.
Fonz, you talked to me about websites. You found some really cool websites, right?
I did, man. I've been really hooked. I mean, it's been on there for a while, but you know, get a little older, takes us a little bit of time to get onto to the new stuff that's already old when we get on it. But I love Reddit, dude. Reddit is the shit.
Reddit. R-E-D-D-I-T? Is that what it is?
R-E-D-D-I-T.com.
Why you like it?
It has the best on that first just regular website. It just has the best of the rest of their subcategories, which, I mean, they have this amazing one that I love called Shower Thoughts. That had, like, yeah, I mean, people come up with some funny shit in the shower, so they put it out there. Love that. But right now I'm really liking this one called We Like LA.
Then there you go.
Of course, right? It's automatic. But they had this one article on there where it shows all the free stuff to do in LA. So I mean, if you want to go on a date, or if you're low on funds, just want to get out the house and don't want to spend no money, perfect. WeLikeLA.com. Love that stuff, man.
Oh, WeLikeLA.com. That's another website after Reddit. Yeah. Oh, I thought that was like a subreddit thing.
Oh, no, not a subcategory. No. But yeah. WeLikeLA.
One, Reddit, you can get lost in Reddit, right? It's so fun. Yeah. Reddit is so many cool things. Cool.
There, you start pushing random, and then just, you know, you see get all lost. Kinds.
Take me away, yeah. Reddit. Take me away.
And you go to the end of the internet right there.
And then you have what did you say? What was it after that?
We Like LA.
We Like LA. All right, cool. I'm gonna check that. I haven't checked out We Like LA.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And of course, I told you, always the Awesomer.
Dude, yeah.
Has some really cool stuff. I mean, just we'll have more, right?
Dude, I like that. What do you think about that? Start looking into the new year. Do you think, I like to call it a Wednesday website of the week. What do you think? Every Wednesday, we'll post it on our Facebook. We'll throw in a website for people to check out.
That works for me. That'd be fun.
Cool. And then what we can do is we can just alternate.
Yeah. Sounds good.
You go first.
But I forgot to mention this, and then I want to bring it up really quick, is you're talking about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I only followed baseball before I graduated high school. Didn't really follow it that much afterwards.
Park Expos.
I guess I had more time before. I don't know what it was. But the WWE wrestling, the Macho Man made the Hall of Fame this year. Randy Savage.
He made the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Come on. You know that guy.
Hey, I love the Macho Man. Macho Madness.
Yeah,
he made it. All right. Yeah, he made it. Cool. When did that, was that in 2015 that the Hall of Fame comes out?
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. It was like maybe a week or two ago that he, like, I think it was like this week. Pretty sure it was this week. Yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage. Amazing guy.
Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah.
Rest in peace, brother.
Did he go in by himself or did he go in with Elizabeth?
Oh, just by himself.
Just, hey, man. You know what?
I got Elizabeth is in my Hall of Fame.
I got, you know what? Hey, this is the Liz show. Elizabeth Shue, Elizabeth from Macho Man.
Elizabeth.
Robin's got these pink ski goggles that she freaking has from when she used to snowboard, and then she met a Hispanic, and Hispanics don't snowboard as much, so they're sitting there, and when she donated all her snowboard stuff, I was like, hey, let's keep these glasses. She's like, why do you want to keep these freaking goggles? I was like, because one day I'm going to be the Macho Man for Halloween. And so it's like every 3 months, she's like, are we going to throw these away yet? Or are we going to donate them? I'm like, no, one day I'm going to be Macho Man Randy Savage. That's hilarious. All I need is the cowboy hat and I'm ready to roll. Cool, man. You know what? I got some websites too, dude. www.skiplagged.com. Have you heard of that site?
No.
It's this dude. He made the news, and what happened was there's a lot of airlines that are trying to sue him because the guy who created this site, because Skiplagged is a website that if you want to take a flight, then what you do is you look at this website and it tells you, it shows you how to buy a flight, but to get off on the first stop, right? So like, for example, a flight from LA to Arizona will cost like $150, right? But what you can do is you can buy a flight from here to Texas and you might find one for $125, but it's because there's a one stop and the stop will be in Arizona. So what you do is you pay for the flight to Texas and you just get off on the layover or on the stop. And so you've saved yourself $25. Now that's just $25 in this website. I mean, literally people have saved up to like $150-$200 per flight because like say they want to fly from here to Dallas and Dallas is a very big metropolis. It costs like $400. They'll pay for a flight to like Louisiana and it costs like $400 or $350. And then but the stop is in Dallas. So they just get off and they're good to go. So SkipLag is still exists, even though they got threatened to get again sued by airlines. But the thing is, they're not making any money. It's just a website you know, you're not paying anything. They do take donations. And the weird thing about it is that even airline agents, like when you go to an airline booth and you talk to them, they'll tell you, look, this flight's cheaper. If you're not carrying any baggage, why don't you just hop on this flight and get off there? Like, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
It's not a secret. But the cool thing is that SkipLag puts all the flights from all different airlines. That's what they're trying to do. And so a bunch of airlines are getting sour about it. And but it's still there. So, you know, if you are one who travels and you're traveling on a budget and you're traveling light, that's the way to do it. Go to SkipLag. I talked to someone who travels a lot, and he was telling me that the only people who don't have beef with SkipLag is what he was talking about, according to this person I was talking to, was Southwest, because their model of flying is like that. Their model of flying is with frequent stops. So that's why sometimes things are cheaper. Prices are cheaper than the other airlines. That's what he believed. But it's not Southwest who has the beef with them. It's all the bigger airlines who that's not their model of flying.
Oh, okay.
But, dude, that's pretty cool. So I checked out the site, and it actually is pretty cool. And it's like they got these little alerts that say, right now you can find a flight. If you're flying to this place, you'll end up saving $20, $50, $70.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool. I think
so your layover is your destination.
Bingo.
Got it. That's cool, dude. That's real cool.
And you know, we travel light, dude. All we travel like chones, if that, and a good book.
Yep. The chones in the plastic pack that you bought at the Walmart, so you could just leave them.
That's right.
Come back with nothing.
That's right. Exactly.
Come back lighter.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the second one, that website that I like, is longbeachindependent.com. Exactly how it sounds. And I like it because LA is incredible and it has an enormous bunch of independent talent. This is Long Beach's version. The dude, I'd like to get him on the show one day, and he tries to run single-handedly or with a small group of the kind of cool things, whether it's folk music or up-and-coming bands out in and around Long Beach. So we have our sites. I hope that we'll find new sites throughout the year. You want to go first, Fonz, with the first site next Wednesday?
Yeah, totally. I'll do that.
All right.
I'm on it.
On it like Blue Bonnet. What's up? Hey, do you have any resolutions?
Dude, my only resolution right now is to write 2015 instead of 2014. on my paperwork at work, because then it's going to get confusing.
I feel you.
That's it. I want to get the right year. That's it. And the right fucking pilot show that we're on.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. You want to just be in the now. Your resolution.
Yeah.
All right. We run out of time, so I'm not going to give any. No, I'm just playing. But no, my resolution is, here we go. We can end the show with my resolution, I think, will be. I'm always like that. It gives resolutions just give me a chance to kind of like, let's throw it out there, see what happens. Maybe it doesn't happen. I don't know. Here it is. My resolution is to, by the end of this year, to reach the tipping point
with our listenership.
I like where we are. I like the growing listenership that we have. I love it. I love all the connections we've made. My resolution is to continue trending up. is, I guess, my resolution.
I like it.
And you know what else, too? Janelle Bludow, remember, she was our first show on season two.
Yeah.
She's now in Fresno, dude. She left Texas. She broke that Chupacabra story. She's now working for the news in Fresno.
She made it to Cali.
She made it to California. Good for her. Yeah. Insert clap. So she's awesome. Out in California. I sent her a message. Welcome to California. She was like, thank you very much. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's trying to make it to Southern. She's almost here. Yeah. But congrats to you. Congrats, Janelle, if you're listening. Fonz, man, this is pretty cool. It's the future of podcasting. Yes.
Awesomeness.